And I want to make a couple comments just because we do get hits on our website from countries like China and so forth that you don't know their background and you don't know. So some of these things I'm making is as much for them as it is for us personally. But in this thing of the one man observed that you can always judge how important something is by the amount of controversy that it creates. And if you look down through church history, whether it's water baptism or whether it's communion or whether it's any of the things, anything that God said, do this, okay? Anything that God said, do, usually there's a controversy that arises around that. And folks, you've got to understand that one-third of the devil's temptations to Jesus were religious. It was quoting him the word of God with a wrong emphasis, with a wrong heart, with a wrong motive. Okay, so you've got that kind of going on with all these other things. The purpose, the reason there's controversy about water baptism and communion and all these things that God said do is because the enemy wants to rob you of the life of the thing. Either get you on the side of running around doing something that you have no faith in, so there's no life present, or overdoing on the other side. You know, he wants you robbed of that because there's tremendous life in water baptism if you really understand it. There's tremendous life in communion if you really understand it. It's not just a ritual, okay? Tongues is in the same category, in my opinion. And I'm giving you these lessons not because, you know, there's enough controversy in the body of Christ to fill a semi when it comes to speaking in tongues. But the reason there is because the enemy wants to rob you of this great blessing that Jesus died for. And I'm doing this for those of us who pray. Tongues is such a critical element to your prayer life. I'm not saying that the only prayer life is tongues, but I'm saying that tongues is such a critical element. You need to understand what this great thing is that is called the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. Now, this morning, I want to give us a little bit on tongues is the rest. That's the theme of this morning. And I was talking to Texas, and she really liked these quotes. And I wanted to give you these quotes again and then ask some questions about these quotes. Amen. These are quotes, I call them quotes from the past, and I sourced these for you. I thought I would read these again. They're on the notes outside. They're really worth looking at because of the men who said them. John G. Lake, if you don't know him, Jesus shook the continent of Africa through Brother Lake, upside down. Thousands of people saved, people raised from the dead, a tremendously powerful man of God and minister, very supernatural minister. In his book, John G. Lake, A Man Without Compromise by Wilford Wright, this is Dr. Lake's comment on the gift of tongues and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he says this, "I want to talk with the utmost frankness that tongues have been to me the making of my ministry." Now, this is not somebody standing on a corner saying Jesus loves you. This is John G. Lake making this statement, the guy that Jesus used to shake the continent of Africa with. And his comment about tongues was, he said, "I want to speak with the utmost frankness that tongues have been to me the making of my ministry." Isn't that an amazing statement? "It is that peculiar communication with God when God reveals to my soul the truth that I utter to you day by day in the ministry." Lake was attributing to his praying in tongues as one, the making of his ministry, and two, that it gave him the truths that he preached day by day and gave people to minister. That's fairly significant, wouldn't you say? Fairly significant. Now, the other person that was, and again, I sourced that. I would encourage you to go find these books and read this because there's a lot around the quotes that I'm not giving you. But that was from John G., the book, John G. Lake, A Man Without Compromise by Wilford Wright. The other book, the other person, and I'm quoting this a little more specifically, was Smith Wigglesworth in his book, Ever Increasing Faith, and I believe it was some sort of biography. In chapter 18 of that book, Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth, entitled The Gift of Tongues, this is Smith's comment about tongues. "I cannot estimate what I personally owe to the Holy Spirit method of spiritual edification. I am one of the biggest conundrums or riddles in the world. There never was a weaker man that stood on the platform. Language, None. Inability, full of it. The secret is that the Holy Spirit came and brought this wonderful edification of the Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth said, he was a plumber. He didn't even have a lot of formal training in the ministry. And his comment was, he said, I can't even talk. If you ever listen to what he wrote, he had to have people help him talk. He couldn't talk without God. And he attributed the powerful ministry that he gave to the body of Christ and the miracles that were worked. He attributed that to the Lord, of course, but to tongues as one of the main tools that brought that forth in his life. So we're not talking about a minor issue. Why do you think? I mean, in today's church, I'm sure you're aware of this. You go into certain churches and, well, don't talk about that tongues thing. You know, that's really controversial, you know. Don't get that tongues thing going too good because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. Folks, it was a major part of the New Testament. It was a major grace of God. It was so important. Y'all know that tongues didn't exist in the Old Covenant. It is one of the benefits that God gave us in the New Covenant that the Old Covenant saints did not have. Isn't that interesting? And so it's a great tool and a great blessing that God has given us through these things. I thought those quotes were worth going over to give you some food for thought. Now, what I wanted to cover this morning is, why would these men, I want to ask a question, why would these men place such an emphasis on the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues? Why would somebody like Lake and Wigglesworth put so much emphasis on this? I want to just pose that question. And we're going to answer this because of, and we'll start out in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, it says itself, it should be himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, the thing I want to talk to you about, you know, just kind of going through this, I'm not saying this is the only thing, but the primary application, we're going to cover this in future messages, God willing. That verse up there, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It is the Greek word there starts with the prefix soon, and soon always means together with, and the literal meaning just in Thayer's Abridged of that word is, likewise the Spirit lays hold together with us. Now that's really significant, okay? Likewise the Spirit lays hold together with us what? Our weaknesses. It's also, that's, by the way, translated sicknesses in a lot of different places, okay? But our weaknesses, and folks, the one of the things that praying in tongues does is it allows the Holy Spirit to grab something with us. Now, just since that one message that we ministered, a person came up to me. This is just, you know, real world stuff. They came up to me. They've been going through some things. I'm not going to say their name or what it was because that's not the point. But just since the last message that I preached on this, they came up to me and they said they've been going through something for a long time and they've been praying about it and they were in that state of, I'm just not getting any traction. Do you all know what I'm talking about? You're dealing with something in your life, and it's just like, I'm not getting any traction. And they told me, this was their story. They said, I just got up one morning, went to my little, you know, place where I go, and prayed in tongues for 30 minutes. And after I got done, the person said to me, all of a sudden, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew exactly how to pray for what was going on. Now, that's just within last week. And see, that's when you understand it, that's what it does. That's one of the things that tongues accomplishes in your life. The Holy Spirit will grab together with you your weaknesses. And this particular thing here, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How common an experience is that in a believer's life? You're up against something and you just, I don't have any idea how to pray about this. Is that true? That's just common to Christians in general. I don't know how to pray about this. Well, tongues is given to us to make intercession for the Holy Ghost to grab together with us. I know when I shared this story before, when one of my family members, we were down on the farm over a weekend, and one of them fell off a roof and got hurt, and they were seriously injured, and we're in a car driving somewhere, you know, and I'm sitting there all the way up a highway. This person's in the car, one of the family members, and we didn't know till later how badly they were really hurt. They were really hurt badly. But we're in the car driving up the road, and I'm going, Lord, I have have no idea where to go, what to do, how to handle this. You know, I got nothing, you know. So all the way up a highway from where I live, I'm praying in tongues and just going to, you know, God, you know. And at the end of a highway and going down 32, we get close to the intersection of 32 and 21, and I'm praying in tongues, and I said, God, I need you to grab this with me. I need you, and I realized that I'd been praying in tongues all the way up to that point. And right as I said that, the Holy Ghost spoke inside of me and said, go here, do this, told me exactly what to do, and that began a series of miracles, you know, after that. You know, and it was because I literally, the nature of what was going on is like, well, should I go to an emergency room close or far or where? You know, there was all those questions. Where do you go? What do? Who do you, you know, in an emergency, there's all those questions. And I'm sitting there, and boy, the Holy Spirit said, do this. And it didn't make any sense, but I did what he said. And we started to get one miracle after another on that particular situation, coming out of praying in tongues all the way up a highway to that point, okay? Now, I'm not saying you can't get in the Spirit by some other means of praying in English. Now, that's not my point, okay? That you can't pray in English and get in the Spirit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that tongues is a tool. It's a grace. It's a New Testament blessing. If you don't like the word tool, it's a New Testament blessing that it has character qualities that allow you to do things that you can't do with your mind. And I'm going to cover some of those, okay, this morning, okay? Praise the Lord. So I'm not saying you can't pray with your understanding, but I'm just saying there are times when this particular verse grabbed together with you is the thing that you need, because you just, I don't know what to do, you know, and you need God to pray with you. Scroll up one verse, if you would, please, to 27. And this is the reason. And he that searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's impossible to pray outside of the will of God in tongues, okay? And I'm going to show you why that is the case. So when you are in a pinch and you need to pray about something, when you say, Holy Spirit, come on, grab this with me and pray about this before the Lord with me, and you start praying in tongues before God, according to this verse, you can't pray outside the will of God. It is possible to pray outside the will of God with your mind, isn't it? Because you can dream up some stuff that God wants nothing to do with. Is that not the case? I've got some great ideas. How many of you have prayed your great ideas, did your great ideas, and watched them blew up? It's common, okay? But you can't pray in tongues outside of the will of God. This verse declares, as you're making intercession in tongues, that the Spirit is making intercession according to the will of God. Is that good news? It is when you're lost. It is when you're lost. I need to pray about this, and I have no idea what to pray or what to say. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. And your gift of the Holy Ghost in tongues is given to you for that. Praise the Lord. So that's one of the first reasons why they would place this, because tongues takes a role in intercession and allows you to pray things, and the tongues, you know, the Holy Spirit, through the gift of tongues, grabs things with you. That's what that word helpeth means. He grabs it along with you. And praise the Lord, I need a lot of help when I pray. How about you? So those are some real testimonies. Now let's talk about some of the particulars here. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and give you some of the reasons why some of these things exist. Hallelujah. Acts 2:1 says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in order to, a lot of the controversy that I've heard over the years comes from people interjecting things that aren't there. And when we look at this verse, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Over the years, I've asked, I don't know how many different people that don't know about this, that question. And this is the question that I asked them. In this verse here, number 4, it says, and began to speak with other tongues. I've asked many people this question, who spoke? 99 people out of 100 answer that question with the Holy Ghost. And that is not what the verse is saying, okay? Look very carefully at the structure of the verse. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and who is the subject of began? They is the subject of began. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And see, a lot of people, you see this not understanding this verse and the delineation. Tongues is like God and you. It's not God without you, and it's not you without God. It's like all of it mixed together into one, and you need to understand that. I've had people that struggled for years to be filled with the Spirit because they expected God to throw them across the floor and stomp on their head, take over their vocal cords, and force them to speak. That's not what the verse says. The verse says they began to speak. I had a person that I prayed for one time. He said, I hear some syllables that I don't understand inside. And he said, I what do I do with that? I said, well, they began to speak. You know, speak them out. You know, because it's not the Holy Spirit speaking out, it's you speaking out. Now, here's the distinction. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the miracle of tongues is not that you're talking. The miracle of tongues is what you're saying when you speak. You understand that? That's the distinction you have to get. So if you speak, then it's up to you to decide if you're going to speak or not when that occurs in your life. They spoke, and the Spirit gave them what to speak. Now, this all plays in with intercession, because somebody said, well, if you're interceding in tongues, you're cheating. I don't need all the help I can get. You know, if you're interceding in tongues, you're cheating. Well, I'll take all the help I can get. It was an open book test last time I checked. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? They began to speak. Now, let's look at another verse, 1 Corinthians 14:14, in this verse. And this is another thing you need to understand. So, I speak, the Spirit gives me what to speak. That's what I need. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, now look at this verse very carefully. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, folks, it's you speaking, but it is not you speaking out of your mind. That's what you need to understand. When you pray in an unknown tongue, it is your spirit that prays. And this is why the intercession is not cheating. You say, Holy Ghost, grab this with me. And you begin to pray in tongues, yandarabashate, and you begin to speak in tongues and pray over something. This is why it's not. You say, well, that's no fair because God prayed that into being. No, he didn't. If you believe this verse, it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. It's you that's praying. That's why you can intercede in tongues, and it's not cheating. The cheating part is God's giving you what to say. But it is still your prayer, your spirit praying, and it is your prayer, and therefore God can look at that as true intercession from you. Okay, he can look at that prayer in tongues as true intercession from you because it isn't the Holy Spirit praying. Now, you really need to hear this, okay? It is, say it with me, my spirit prays. That's what you need to understand. It is your spirit that is praying. It is not your mind praying. It is your spirit praying. That's why you don't always understand what you're saying, because it's not coming from your understanding, it's coming from your spirit. That's kind of slick, isn't it? So God says, here, intercede about this in tongues, and it's an open book test. I'll tell you exactly what to pray. You know, just start. And you start praying in tongues, and he starts giving you, you know, things to pray about in tongues. Now, it does say, you know, my understanding is unfruitful. That is, a lot of times when you pray in tongues, your mind catches up later with what you're saying now. You know, you pray in tongues first, and then the understanding comes. And I believe, like in that story I just told you, I was praying in tongues all the way up a highway. That word that the Lord gave me, go here, do this, and do that, that came out of that prayer. That was just, here's what you've been praying about. Go here, okay? And so he gave you that. Well, that's cool. That's cool. If you haven't figured this out yet, you don't know what to do. None of us do. That's the coolness of it. He gave us this to help us understand. Praise the Lord. So it is your spirit praying, but your mind is not engaged, is not fruitful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. So that's why it's legitimate intercession, because it is my spirit that is praying. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:1, let's look at a couple of other points in that. And this is important, because one of the things, if you're ever going to use this, and it's going to be any kind of use to you, one of the lies you will hear, and you'll hear this from well-meaning Christians, you'll hear this from your own thoughts, you know, there's a lot of different places where you can hear this, but one of the things you're going to have to deal with, one of the most common lies that's around speaking in tongues, is that, you know, why are you saying that? That sounds like nonsense, okay? Sounds like gibberish, like you're retarded or something, okay? And you're going to have to deal with that if you're ever going to let this be really effective in your life, okay? Now, here's the verse that will help you deal with that, because on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke with tongues, it was in known languages in Acts chapter 2. They were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia. And Peter later on said, we do hear them in our own tongues speak the wonderful works of God. Okay? So tongues on Pentecost was known language. Now, as it progressed through the New Testament, you want to notice this verse. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of what? Angels. And have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So tongues, according to the Apostle Paul, comes from two distinct sources. One is the languages of men, which occurred on the day of Pentecost. The other is the tongues of angels. Now, I was privileged to take Romance languages when I was in school, okay, and I took a bunch of them because I like languages. You took a bunch of Spanish courses, actually. I took a bunch of Romance languages, and the funny thing about it is every time I went to the course catalog to sign up for the next course, I looked under all the language offerings, and I never saw Angel 101 sign up here 3 credit hours. Right? So how would you know when you say that somebody's speaking in tongues that it sounds like nonsense? How would you know? Do you speak angel? Are you an expert linguistics in angel? Who knows what angel sounds like? It's not taught by men anywhere, is it? Do you know where that course is? I never saw it. But your tongues is known languages or the angelic languages. And I don't know all those. Amen? So it's not nonsense. Who are you to judge? How could you possibly know? I don't know what angel is. They don't offer it at university. I don't know professors that give PhDs in it. The only one that teaches angel is God, the Holy Ghost. So how would you know when the enemy plants the thought in your mind that that sounds like nonsense? You're just doing nothing. You're accomplishing nothing, right? How would you know? How would you recognize? No one down here teaches angel that I'm aware of. True? So God, the Holy Ghost, teaches angel and gives angel to us to speak out with our voice. So that's one of the things, that's the answer to that lie of, well, you just sat there and mumbled nonsense syllables for 30 minutes. Well, no, I didn't. I happen to be speaking in angel if I don't recognize the dialect, and I don't know what that is, so I trust God that I'm speaking with the tongues of men and of angels, and I'm going to have love. So that will help you. You've got to get past that lie, because sooner or later, I had people that were prayed for the Spirit, and one of the things they said is, well, I see all these syllables down inside of me. I've heard this comment before, but they don't make any sense. I don't recognize them. I said, well, speak them out. Maybe it's angel, you know, and you don't know. See? You kind of got to get pretty basic with this, you know? So I said, no one recognizes angel. God is the one that gives it to you, so speak it out. And when someone speaks it out in faith, all of a sudden it comes forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that'll help you with that. You'll have to get past that lie. If the devil hasn't suggested that to you yet, you know, in your own thinking, if you haven't been able to come up with that by yourself or him suggest that to you, some well-meaning believer will come along and say that to you at some point, you know, because that's one of the objections is they don't recognize the known language. Well, it's men and angels is the known language. Praise the Lord. So the bottom line is, and the reason I gave you all this, is when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is grabbing a hold of, you know, together with you, what it is you're praying about. And this is a valid prayer based on Romans 8:26, which says the Spirit lays hold together. That's that word helpeth, okay? Lays hold together with us. This is a valid prayer, and I do this all the time. I was driving down the road with that person sitting in the back seat of my car, praying in tongues and saying, God, I want you to grab this with me, and I want you to grab it right now, because I have no idea what to do or where to go. And he did. He did. I prayed. He spoke. We got the miracles. One after another. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. And that's my favorite prayer, is I go to pray something. It's like, oh, what do you do about this? Well, my son's running off. You have these requests in the ministry all the time. My son's running off to Nova Scotia, and I don't know why, and he's acting stupid. And how do I pray about this? I'm supposed to know? Well, you get that stuff in your life. I don't know how to pray about that. But why don't we pray about it in tongues? Why don't you pray about it in tongues? Well, I can't speak in tongues, I haven't been filled with the Spirit. Well, we can remedy that. You know, because you got a great gift here from God that you can use if you'd like. And I use it all the time. But you don't start using it until, to be perfectly honest, when I was filled with the Spirit years and years ago, and I spoke in tongues, but I never used it because I never saw any practical reason to use it. Somebody just said, get filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, really? Why? They said, because it's in the Word. I said, praise the Lord. They said, then you pray in tongues. I said, why? They said, you just do. I mean, that's about the limit of where this thing was all those years ago. You just do. So I prayed in tongues. And you know what? As soon as I did, because nobody taught me anything reasonable about it, I stopped praying in tongues. Anybody had that experience besides me? You know, you just don't use it anymore. Well, why not? Because it sounds like nonsense to me, you know, really. You know, and so you don't use it. And so for years and years, I spoke in tongues every once in a while when the Spirit would lead me. But most of the time, it was just, you talk in tongues? Yeah, what's the point? I don't know, you know. So, but then God started to teach me all these different things that tongues accomplishes as a gift of the Spirit. And I thought, wow, this is a benefit of the new. Folks, the Old Testament saints didn't have this. They prophesied about this in the Old Covenant, which we're going to talk about this in a minute. They prophesied that this would be one of the things we'd get in this covenant. God must have thought a whole lot about it, because he didn't give it to the Old Covenant saints. He gave it to us in this dispensation. It's unique to the church age, to the New Testament dispensation. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's a great gift, and it's one of a very powerful tool in intercession. Amen. Let's go to some other scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:21, and we'll show you a couple of other things here that'll help you. Is this giving you anything to think about? I hope so. Because this is, you know, that we may have some people that aren't filled with the Spirit. We may have some people that are filled with the Spirit. Somebody told them, you don't have to talk in tongues. It's optional or whatever. You know, there's a whole rift of things going on here that we're talking to. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 14:21. Now, you realize Paul gave us all this teaching in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14 about the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues, how it works in an assembly, what's the right way to use it and the wrong way to use it. Folks, you don't have to be afraid of tongues in the assembly. All you have to do is have somebody sit down and teach you how it's supposed to work, and it doesn't do goofy things. You know, the thing that I've seen over my, you're sitting in a church service, somebody's preaching, and somebody jumps up in the middle of the service and starts crying out in tongues. If you read 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, you wouldn't do that. Because Paul specifically lays down the guidelines to keep this in order. Okay, you wouldn't do that if you read those chapters at all. Amen? So I'm not covering all that yet because nobody recently stood up here and done that. So I didn't see a whole lot of need at the moment. But we'll get around to that. Hopefully nobody will, because that's really not the proper use of tongues. If you're not edifying yourself, you know, the general rule is, you know, don't walk in there and, you know, Paul said, are you nuts? You know, you go around speaking in tongues like that, and there are people in the church that don't know. He said, won't they say you're mad? The general rule is if you're not blessing somebody, speak to yourself and to God. And then you don't have to worry about somebody jumping up and crying out in the middle of a service, because that's out of order. If you read his guidelines, you're not supposed to use it that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, show you how critical this is, let's go back to the law and look at what the prophets had to say about this gift in your life. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Are you aware? This is 1 Corinthians 14:21. Do you know what Paul is doing here? He's quoting the prophets who prophesied about this gift. You don't think Paul created tongues, do you, in the New Testament? Tongues was spoken about in the Old, and Paul brought it into the New by revelation of Jesus and explained it and said this is what they were talking about. So all of his teaching on tongues was by revelation, of course, but all of his teaching was rooted in what the Old Covenant said God would do with tongues in this dispensation, in this covenant. Now, does anybody know what he's quoting, or do you have it in your Bibles there? Okay, no, he isn't quoting Joel. Does anybody have it in their study Bibles that they're looking at? Nobody? Okay, let's go to the next verse, Isaiah 28. Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah, and let's read a little bit. Let's go back, if we would, Helen, to verse 10 to give you a context with this. For precept must be upon precept. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Let's go on now. Verse 11, for with stammering lips, this is what Paul was quoting. He's quoting Isaiah, okay? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, okay? So Paul was saying, this is going to happen. Isaiah was prophesying, and Paul was quoting Isaiah. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak. Now, Paul in Corinthians said, but for all this he will not hear. They will not hear me. Okay, he was paraphrasing off of what Isaiah said. What Isaiah said was, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said. Now, this is not in what Paul quoted, but this is what Isaiah prophesied about what Paul quoted. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, folks, my question to you is, this is the rest? What is this is? Well, if you believe in contextual answers, which I'm a big fan of those, aren't you? Not just drawing something out of the sky, but actually reading what's there. If you look, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said this is. What is he talking about? With stammering lips and another tongue, he'll speak to this people. This is the rest is talking about tongues. This is the rest wherewith the weary may rest. This is the refresh wherewith you cause the weary, and this is the refreshing, and yet they would not hear. Folks, this is tongues is one of the principal ways that the rest of God is released into your life for real. The real deal, the real rest. You know, not somebody telling you in rest while you run around and kill yourself with action. You know, but the real rest, where you're actually resting and living out of that rest. So tongues is a critical element to the rest. Now, I'll give you one more verse, because this is, you know, we're just kind of giving you several points at a time here. Turn to the next verse, which is the 95th Psalm, and we'll start in verse 7, and we'll see if you recognize this. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. They should not enter into my... Does anybody recognize where in the New Testament this psalm was quoted? In Hebrews 3 and 4, about the rest of God, is where this Paul quoted, or the writer of Hebrews quoted this psalm. And the interest, unto whom I swear that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, folks, the word rest, manuha, or manuka, depending on how you pronounce it, the word rest in this verse, which Paul was saying, all that he was saying in Hebrews 3 and 4 came from this psalm. He was quoting it and expanding it by revelation, okay? So all that Paul was teaching us on the rest of God, this is the verse he quoted that said the Israelites couldn't enter because of the rest. And that Hebrew word in this psalm is the same Hebrew word as rest in Isaiah 28. This is the rest wherewith the weary may rest. Same Hebrew word, same meaning, same everything. So it's not just one verse that I'm taking that from. It's the same Hebrew word. God said this is the rest, okay? How many of you could use living in the rest? The praying in tongues, according to Isaiah, is a key element not to get it. The rest is already yours through redemption. But praying in tongues is a key element to releasing it in your life. Is that good news? And you can, you know, when you start working with this, you start feeling these realities. There are times when I get so worked up. Anybody had this experience? You get so worked up, you're worried about something, you know, and you're just, and your mind is going 100 miles an hour, and you're on this the merry-go-round of, well, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, you know. And aren't we really good at coming up with about 15 different alternatives and totally confusing ourselves? I mean, we're champions at this. We come up with 15 different alternatives of what we're going to do to solve this thing, and you know, it's you don't have a clue about any of them. And see, the whole thing is, with tongues, you can take that and say, Holy Spirit, I'm really in a jam here. I don't know what to do, and I want you to grab a hold of this. That's that word helpeth again, right? Grab a hold of this together with me. And pray about this with me. That's a valid prayer because of that verse in Romans. And you start praying, pray for 30 minutes in tongues, and all of the anxiety goes away, and you're sitting there, and just like that person testified to me, all of a sudden I knew what was going on, knew what to do, knew exactly what to do. But you don't understand. Why do you think God gave you tongues? Because he knew you didn't get it. And he knew you were going to come up with 15 different plans on your own, none of which would work. He knew that. We're creative, guys. We're after Adam. I mean, you can come up with more stuff than Carter's got pills, can't you? We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And you sit there, and by the time you get done, you're so confused, you don't know whether you're pitching or catching. Right? You have no idea. You pray in tongues for 30 minutes, you come away, oh, this is what's going on. See, praying in tongues, the rest of God is full of the flow of God and the life of God. And as you pray in tongues, there's that flow that's created. And a lot of times the praying in tongues sensitizes your spirit. Who's praying? Say it. Say it exactly. My what? My spirit prayeth, right? So it's you praying, you're praying, it's sensitizing your spirit, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I know, this occurred to me, and I just know by the witness of the Spirit, that's what I'm supposed to do. See, that's what this does. This is just one thing. There's more that tongues does than this. If it only did this, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? If it only did this, if tongues was the principal way that you release the rest of God, if it did that, it would be like, we've hit the jackpot, okay? If that's all, and it does much more than that, much more than that. You're praying, one other thing that you're praying, I don't think I have this on there, Helen, so I'll read this out of the Bible. But one other thing, let me find this, if I can find this real quickly in 14. Who uses paper Bibles anymore? Get with it, right? 1 Corinthians 14, it says, 14:2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. See, that's the whole thing, is praying in tongues is to, here's the point, praying in tongues is the gift of this covenant to bypass this thing. To bypass your noodle. Okay? That's what it says. And it said, did you turn there? Okay? He that speaks in an unknown tongue does not. So if you're talking in tongues, no wonder it says in 14, yanda da bashiri. What are you, nuts? No wonder it tells you not to do that. Because the person you're doing that to doesn't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying. You didn't accomplish a thing. Why aren't you? He that speaks in an unknown tongues does not speak to men. Okay? But unto God, for no man understands him in the spirit. He speaks mysteries. When you're praying in tongues, you're praying according to the will of God. You're speaking mysteries back to the Lord. You're supercharging your times of prayer, and you're energizing all that. So that's what it's used for. I'm not, you know, what are you praying in tongues for? You sound like an idiot. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him. That's what it says, isn't it? If you speak in an unknown tongue, you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Most High. And when I get done talking to him, he's going to talk to me. Because you sensitize, you build one of those verses that we already covered. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Oikodomeo. Builds his own house up. So when you pray in tongues, there's an energizing of the on the inside of you, and you begin to feel. I've prayed in tongues, and it's the moment you start praying, when you understand these things, you say, well, here's the other thing you hear all the time. I prayed in tongues for 30 minutes, and it was as flat as a pancake. What did you believe when you were praying in tongues? Did you believe that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you oikodomeo, you build yourself up, you build your house? Did you believe that when you were praying in tongues? If you did, see if you, what brings grace in the new covenant, folks? Faith, right? It is of faith that it might be by grace. It all gets back to this thing of a grace covenant. So you're praying in an unknown tongue, and you're energizing. You're building your own house. You're building yourself up. And when you understand that and believe that, you start praying in tongues, you can feel the flow of the power just start happening as you pray. Well, why do you think that? Because you build, that's what it says. You oikodomeo, you build yourself up, you build your house. Praise the Lord. So, you know, so you say, what are you saying? When I sit down and pray in tongues, I expect that flow to occur. I believe that flow is supposed to occur. So guess what I get? I get that flow. I get built up. See, it gets down to whether you understand these things. Now, the person who sits down and prays in tongues for 30 minutes and expects absolutely nothing to happen, what do they get? They don't get oikodomeo, do they? They don't get build yourself up. They get nothing. They get a whole lot of works with nothing. Isn't that the way of the New Testament? Faith, you know, you're supposed to not just run around doing something. Is that true? Is this the right church? You're not supposed to just run around doing something. You're supposed to believe something and then do something. Yes? Believe first. Well, that's the whole thing with this. If you don't believe anything, nothing happens. But I believe this. So when I speak in tongues, I expect that building up to occur. And of course, because I expect it, because the Word says it, guess what happens? It occurs. And all of you that have called me, and we're happy to pray with you anytime with anyone, but we have conversations on the phone over and over again, that the real need is the person who's bringing it up. And it's not that we don't want to pray with people, but the real need is the person who's bringing it up needs to spend some real time understanding this and praying in tongues about the thing they're so perplexed about. And it will clear up. Okay, you'll know. And if you don't, we'll sit down and go over this more with you until it becomes clear to you. This is your, is this, you know how many, I got so many messages like that. Well, you know, we want to hear them or we don't, you know. But I got so much more on this subject about what it does and what God does with this. Don't you, you should walk out of here going, man, God gave me this in this covenant, and the Old Testament saints got eat your heart out. Right? He thought so much of this covenant that he gave us this gift, this benefit that the Old Testament saints did not have access to. All they could do was Isaiah saw it and prophesied with stammering lips and another tongue. I'll speak to this people, and with all this, they won't hear me. He prophesied about it coming. Well, things aren't much different today, folks. You know, some people, this is good news. To me, it's good news. If you've ever been in a jam and lost and used this and seen God show up, it's really good news, you know. And so how can you be quiet about this? Well, let's not have any message on tongues. Somebody new might come in. Well, if you don't understand this, that's what these Wednesday nights are for. We'll talk about it. Answer any of your questions you have. We'll be happy to work with you on that. But for this message today is for a lot. Most of us here have been filled with the Spirit or have been in church a long time, and that's what this message is for, to give you something that you can go pray with and use. And hopefully for some of you, if you were like me, this will rebirth this in your life. It'll stir you up to say, man, I haven't been praying in tongues. Maybe I ought to do that. Amen? I hope this helps you. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring people on Wednesday if there are questions about this, Lord. And for those, Father, that are sitting here, there's three groups of us. For those that have spoken in tongues, Father, and that tongue is inactive, I just release the grace of God for that to come forth, to build their life up, to build their heart up, to build their house up, Father. For those who don't have it, Father, I just pray that you'd answer their questions by revelation of the Spirit, Father. And Father, that you would cause this to come forth in this group of believers, and to the believers that are listening overseas, Father, that it would come forth in them, they would build their house, and they would experience this miracle flow that occurs as we speak on the mysteries unto you, Father, and not unto men. In Jesus' name, amen.